From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's Here and Now. Flags are flying at half-staff today in Washington in honor of the 12 victims of yesterday's shooting at the city's Navy Yard base. Officials say the suspect, Aaron Alexis, an employee with a defense contractor, used a valid pass to get into the Navy Yard, where he opened fire. Alexis was later killed in a gun battle with police.
This morning, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and other Pentagon officials laid a wreath at the U.S. Navy Memorial in honor of those killed. All of the victims have now been identified, and details of their lives are slowly surfacing. NPR's Hansi Lo Wong has spoken to some folks who knew and worked with the victims. He joins us now. Hansi, so you've spoken to some of the relatives of the victims, I understand. Couldn't have been easy conversations, but what have they been telling you?
That's right, Meghna. Not hard to hard conversations, and I just had one with the widow of Arthur Daniels, age 51. One of the names we just learned today. He lived in Southeast D.C. and Priscilla, his widow, is still very much distraught. I sat with her in her living room. She lives in an apartment with her family, and lots of family are gathered. You know, you have a sense that life is really just is on pause as they figure out what to do next.
I mean, it's almost unimaginable. You send your loved one to work thinking they'll come back, but they never do. But what about some of the coworkers at the Washington Navy Yard? What have they been saying?
Right. I also been reaching out to coworkers, and one of them, his name is William Venable, and he was a coworker of one of the victims, John Rogers Johnson. And he said that, you know, his relationship with Johnson was really an unlikely friendship. Here's what he told me.
I'm, you know, a 20-something-year-old black man, and he's a 70-plus-year-old white guy. You know, we had zero in common, but we had conversations, and he was a great spirit. It was a spirit that you could connect with. Like, he was one of my best friends in that place.
Huh. Well, Hansi, what can you tell us about some of the other victims?
Well, now we know the names of all 12 victims who were killed. The last remaining five names, they were released just a few hours ago by the officials. And you know, right now it's we're still, you know, reaching out to family members. Obviously, it's a difficult time for them, so we're finding out details, bits and pieces as the time goes on, and it's difficult to ask questions. Some people have turned down our phone interview requests, but what we do know is, you know, that they're all either civilian or military contractors who worked at the Navy Yard. They live in the Maryland, Virginia area. There's just one of the 12. Just one of them was a D.C. resident, and that was Arthur Daniels, who I mentioned earlier. Actually, I'm right now still in his where he lived in his neighborhood in Southeast D.C., just a few minutes drive across the river from where the Navy Yard is.
Well, that's Hansi Lo Wong, reporter for NPR's Code Switch team, reporting to us about what we're learning regarding the 12 victims who were shot to death yesterday at the Washington Navy Yard. Hansi, thank you.
Thank you.
Aaron Alexis, the shooting suspect, had only recently moved to Washington. He was working there as an hourly employee for a defense contractor called The Experts. Before that, Alexis was a waiter at the Happy Bowl Thai restaurant in the city of White Settlement, Texas. And the restaurant's owner remembers Alexis as a man of contrasts, quote, a 13-year-old stuck in a 34-year-old body. Michael Ritrovato worked with Aaron Alexis at the Happy Bowl. And Michael, do you agree with that characterization? Was your coworker Aaron immature?
He was. He was immature in the sense that sometimes, not all the time, his whole persona was he would be try to be a managerial type for the restaurant. But, you know, at home, he was more of an immature, a person who was online doing online violent games. And so he spent a lot of time in his bedroom, so to speak, acting like a 13-year-old, yes.
In retrospect, do you see any signs or hints that he might have been capable of something like this?
I wouldn't have guessed it. He was like a son, an adopted son, to the people at the restaurant, and best friends with the owner of the restaurant, which is more his age. And they took him under their wing. He helped out at the restaurant, but he also lived there and had his own room at the house. And every now and again, he'd get a date, but he never had a serious relationship. As a matter of fact, we at the restaurant here were trying to talk him into a more of a serious relationship so that he would find another place to live because the grandmother came from Thailand. Aaron still had his room. She slept on a cot, an 80-year-old woman. So I told Aaron I wouldn't do that. But he, you know, he more and more became a person who would stay with himself in his own room rather than see the reality that the woman that came from Thailand needed to be in the bedroom on a bed instead of on a cot.
Michael, you've said that you're stunned by the idea that Aaron Alexis could have done what it appears that he did. What would you say is the reaction of the other people in your neighborhood and at the restaurant?
We're upset that he would go this far. It looks premeditated, especially to have three weapons in a place where you're not supposed to have any. And so it looks like it was deliberate. I guess the only thing I would add would be it was slow pay with this company, and Aaron wasn't getting paid, and he called me upset about it and needing help financially because he had some problems, car breaking down, things like that. He had quit with that company because they weren't paying him, mm-hmm. and then he went back to work with that company. Maybe they came through financially, or maybe he went to work with them for lesser pay, but he was not getting what he said they offered him.
Michael Ritrovato was a friend and former co-worker of Aaron Alexis, the suspected Washington Navy Yard shooter. Michael, thanks for talking with us.
You're so welcome.
Let's stay in Fort Worth and learn more about the time Aaron Alexis spent there. Joining us now from the studios of KTCU in Fort Worth is Bud Kennedy, a columnist at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. And Bud, I understand you interacted with Aaron Alexis a few times at the Happy Bull, this Thai restaurant. How would you describe him?
Sasha, well, you know, when I came of course, I write about politics here, but I also write about food and restaurants. And I came to try the restaurant, and I thought, well, this is not a traditional immigrant family kind of server who came away. And I thought, well, how did this guy wind up here? But still, you know, Happy Bowl is so close to the Naval Air Station Fort Worth and to Lockheed. It's a very international community. So I thought, well, you know, here's a guy who's trying to get ahead. He didn't seem like somebody who'd be waiting in a restaurant. He seemed a little more. He was reserved and soft spoken. And I've told people he seemed bookish. He took my order and didn't seem to know that much about the Thai food. At the time, he was learning about Thai food and Thai cooking. And over the last couple of years, as he stayed there, and some of our other copy editors went there often and got to know him well and said he was very playful with their children. But he learned the Thai food, the Thai language, and came to know the family well, was helping out waiting tables and delivering orders.
That's right. We had heard from one of his friends that he was a Thai speaker, at least partially. So the friend that we just heard from a minute ago, in your paper's reporting, that friend's wife said she knew that Aaron Alexis had a concealed carry permit and that he would often have a gun with him while he was working at the restaurant. Is that something you or any of your coworkers were aware of, or did he seem in any way aggressive to you?
Well, the fact that somebody has a concealed carry weapon permit in Texas is not a surprise. It's also not a matter of public record. When I talked to Wee, the owner of the restaurant, yesterday, I was one of the first people to talk to Wee, and he said that he knew that Aaron had a gun, but that he didn't think he would do anything like this. When we found out about the arrest in Fort Worth, he was arrested for shooting a bullet through the ceiling of his apartment. He told police he was cleaning his gun. There was oil all over the gun. It looked like he probably was cleaning his gun. That sounded like a plausible explanation.
Now, the Associated Press is reporting that Alexis suffered from various mental health issues and that he was being treated for paranoia and sleeplessness and hearing voices. Is that something you have any knowledge of or were aware of in any way?
I don't think those of us who went there as customers, thought that he had any sort of mental health issues. I think we thought that he was a little bit reserved, maybe not as gregarious, but still, my friends who went there all the time said that he played with their children and had a lot of fun. He didn't seem to be somebody who was, I wouldn't have used the words like sullen or anything like that. I did think that he was, just a little bit more of a librarian type than a restaurant server.
That case you mentioned where police went to an apartment complex where Aaron Alexis had been a report of a gun going off and Aaron Alexis lived at that apartment complex. I understand that resolved somewhat inconclusively.
Well, the charge was dropped. The state looked at the facts of the matter, which were that the gun had oil all over it, that did appear he was cleaning it, and they chose not to pursue the case or prosecute it. Didn't look like a wise use of resources to prosecute the case, it probably would not have resulted in any sort of conviction. It is not unusual in Texas for someone to have a gun or be cleaning it.
But I understand that he was later evicted from that apartment complex. Any connection between those two incidents?
I don't know of any connection in that, and I do know that he was evicted from an apartment complex here. I'm not sure it was that complex.
The Star-Telegram has also reported that some of Alexis's friends said that he seemed frustrated by his current work situation. Do you have any sense of whether that plays into yesterday's shooting?
You know, we've reported, and I think we said that he was frustrated about some back pay that was owed him and some benefits. I don't think we have any feel for how that might have played into this. You know, he also, as you may know, was involved somehow in 9/11. And you know, what I hear is that when the topic of 9/11 came up, people knew he was there and that he would just grow silent, that he didn't really talk about it. You know, other friends have said that he had a lot of anguish, you know, talking and thinking about 9/11. But, you know, those are not things that people saw at the Thai restaurant.
That's Bud Kennedy. He is a columnist at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's been joining us from the studios of KTCU in Fort Worth. Bud, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Now, yesterday, people might remember that President Obama gave very heartfelt remarks about the rampage at the Washington Navy Yard. He called it a cowardly act and said that the victims were patriots. He's had to make such remarks rather frequently. In less than 5 years, there have been around 20 mass shootings in the United States. Coming up later today on All Things Considered, we'll look at how these events have shaped Obama's presidency. We'll also take a look at median household incomes. For the first time since the recession, they did not decline in 2012, but the big picture is actually hardly reassuring. These and other stories today on All Things Considered, but we are back in just a moment, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.